Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, this month has been a great month, as we've talked about reconciliation.
Yes.
We started in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You spent a week in Colossians chapter 1, mm-hmm. just really dissecting that passage about the reconciling work of Jesus and how that really changes our thinking. You know, we once thought of God as an enemy, but in the reconciling work of Christ, we actually see him as a friend, mm-hmm. someone who is for us, not against us, someone that wants the very best for us. And that does something to our minds. It changes our way of thinking. It changes the way we view him. And so we receive that reconciliation. Now we're at peace with God. We're on the same page. There's no more dissension. We don't feel like we're at war with him. We don't feel like we have to walk around on eggshells fearing punishment from him. So reconciliation, when we receive that, it does something inside of us. But that's not the end game as far as God is concerned. He has equipped us to be ministers of reconciliation out there in the world today. Mm-hmm. And so John writes this, and it shows the full circle that God wants us to be involved in. No one has ever seen God. Now, that's true, isn't it?
Absolutely.
God is spirit. He can't be seen. Mm-hmm. Moses said, God, show me your glory. And he, you know, God said, okay, if you think you can handle it, big shot. But I think that was one of the most brave requests, you know, that's ever been uttered as far as humans are concerned. Moses saying, God, show me your glory. And God obliged him, put him in the crevice and passed by. And all he could see was that glory following, tailing the very presence of God. But God's spirit, we can't see him. What we can know about him has been seen in the person of Christ.
Yes.
But here's something else that can make him known in this world today. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us, or brought to perfection in us. So we become receptacles for God's love. We receive God's love. But it's not to be a Dead Sea. It's not to be a deep well of still waters. This is a river that flows into us and then is to flow out of us into the lives of people. And so that's what this reconciliation is all about. God reconciled us to himself in Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God is no longer counting our sins against us. So that's what we can take out to the world. So as that love flows in and changes who we are, then we can start passing that on to others, and we can see that the love of God is being made complete in us. It is coming to perfection in us. So we receive, and as we fill up with the love of God, then it starts to overflow, flow out of us into the lives of people. That's good news, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Really, really good news.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Piper. Today, we welcome your calls right now, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you if you have any questions about the Word of God, what it means to be reconciled to God, what does it mean that God is no longer counting your sins against you. That's good news. If you want to talk about it and see how it really spells itself out in your day-to-day existence, we would love to hear from you right now, 844-322-2742. Or if you have a experience of seeing the love of God being made complete or perfected in you, we would love to hear that, how God has used you to express his love to others. So come be a part of today's broadcast. Join in, 844-322-2742.
We've got an email question here from Linda, and I want you to answer this question from in the context of what we've just been talking about, because there's the easy moralism answer, but I think it's more than that. I'm confused regarding men and women living together without going before a church body to take vows and commit to God and to each other. Is it a disappointment to Christ to live together without taking those vows? I love this man, but I want to be sure that we are living according to God, to what God wants for us.
It's a very interesting question, and
yes.
Certainly we see a lot of that in the world today. People are testing the waters, mm-hmm. so to speak, before they actually commit one to another. And I think that's a very hard thing on relationships. I think from a woman's standpoint, the number one thing that they need in a relationship is security. And that's something that marriage provides for
yes.
them. It really makes them feel secure within this relationship. And until marriage happens, there's always an out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody can say, well, it just didn't work out and I'm going to move on. Well, that leaves emotional scars.
Yes.
So if you're living together, you've given yourself to one another sexually and without commitment, and then if you walk away from that, that just leaves all kinds of emotional scars, and it's tough to overcome,
yes.
and you're going to have to overcome for the next relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when the Bible talks about getting married and the commitment of that, it's for your own benefit. It's for your well-being. That's good for the soul. Living together before marriage is not good for the soul. And I think we have to realize that. And we're seeing so much of that in this world today.
Yeah.
Sex has become casual. It's lost its sacredness, its holiness. There's something very sacred about coming together as one within the context of marriage.
Yes.
That's how God designed it. But when we go about it our own way, and that's what she's basically saying, I want to test the water, so I'm bringing my own understanding into the mix. That's what I'm leaning on because that sounds wise. Let's kick the tires a little bit before we buy the car. But that's not how God's designed it.
Yeah.
You get together, you begin to date, you build a relationship one with another on the foundation of Christ. You allow God's Spirit to forge a love in your heart for that other person. You trust that God's Spirit is doing the same in that person's heart toward you. And you come to a point and you say, let's join together. Let's become one as husband and wife. And then you stand before a minister, you stand before friends, and you pledge, you covenant. You're making a covenant.
Yes.
We're in the new covenant. God has made a covenant with us, and it's his covenant, and we're beneficiaries of it. And so the marriage is representative of this covenant that we're in with Christ Jesus through his shed blood. So I think it's important to understand that. So you covenant together to live as husband and wife, which reflects the very nature of God's relationship with us. So this is a big deal. Marriage is a big deal. And once you get into that, I think that gives the sexual relationship more meaning, and it puts it at that point of sacred and holy, and it's something to really cherish.
Yeah, in this context of reconciliation, what I see God doing for the couple as they grow together, it's a form of reconciliation. He is reconciling two human beings to each other. First, they need to be reconciled to him, but then when they become reconciled to each other, life literally is good. Sex prior to marriage short circuits that process and in many ways blocks it, makes it impossible to be fully reconciled and therefore fully married.
Yes, yes. Well, we sure appreciate that question. If you have a question that you can't call and talk with us about on the broadcast, there's always the opportunity to send it to us via email. The email address is bob@basicgospel.net.
Yes.
bob@basicgospel.net. So if you have a question that you would like to send so that we can address on the air one day, send it to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, let's go to Long Island and talk with Teresa listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, brothers. How are you? I haven't called in a while. How is everybody?
Well, we're doing fabulous,
yes.
And it's so good to hear from you.
Oh, thank you. I just miss you guys. I can't wait till we're all in heaven so we can all be neighbors.
I agree. That's going to be a glorious day, isn't it?
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I mean, I can wait, but, you know. I have a question. I'm going to be going through the book of Colossians with some 20-year-olds that come to my house once a week. And I know they're going to ask me this, so I just want to get it clear before I go into it. It's regarding Colossians 1:23, that word if, if you continue in your faith. Could you please tell me what he's referring to right there?
Well, I think that's a good question, and I think this is one of these passages, Teresa, where folks really concentrate on that if.
On the if, yes.
Right.
They get hung up on the if, yeah.
Get right. hung up, the ifs,
yes.
in life, the ifs,
yes.
in the Bible. And,
yeah.
And it brings us to a point where we can conclude, and some people do, that it's possible to lose salvation. So if you don't continue doing what's right in God's sight, then he's just going to kick you out. And I don't
exactly.
think that's what this passage is all about.
Right.
I don't think it's giving a condition to salvation. It's just simply saying, in as much as you're continuing in the faith, established and firmed, and not being moved away from the hope held out of the gospel. So we have, for example, the parable of the soils, where the seed is being scattered, and there are some who receive that seed, and then the cares of the world choke it out, and so it never has an opportunity to take root. And I think that's what this passage is really saying to us, is make sure this word really takes root in your heart. Especially in Colossae, they had all kinds of philosophies that were being bantered about back in those days. And a lot of the folks were trying to take some of the nuggets from this philosophy or that religion or this way of life and meld those together and come up with their own religion. And Paul was saying, if you do that, then you've lost what Christianity is,
yes.
all about. You've lost the very nature of who Jesus is. So stick with the real thing. Don't try to blend it with anything else. Don't allow the cares of this world, the philosophies of this world, the ways of this world, choke out the real thing that is only found in Jesus.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate that. And this first chapter is dealing a lot with growing in the knowledge, the wisdom. So that's how it goes on to say, established and firm and not moved. So I like that.
Yeah.
I got it.
And Paul, just, you know, to those folks who are trying to figure out what's the best, and you know, we see all the time on cars today those little bumper stickers that say coexist. And what's the idea behind that? Well, it's saying, well, we're all basically believing the same thing. So if we'll just take, you know, the best of Judaism, the best of Hinduism, the best of Buddhism, the best of this, the best of that, and kind of blend it together, we'll all be okay. And that's just not true. And so that was what was happening in Colossae. And to address that and to answer that, Paul simply says, here's Jesus, period, end of story. In him are the treasures of wisdom. In him is life. There's no one else like him. So stand firm in that faith in Jesus.
Perfect. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it, Bob. I really do. And I love you guys, and I'll talk to you soon.
Well, thank you,
yeah.
Teresa. We
thank
sure
you. God bless you
appreciate
all.
And love you as well.
Aw.
Thanks
thank
for your
you,
call today. You. Okay.
Bye-bye.
844-322-2742 is the number to call, 844-322-2742. Open lines available right now. We would love to hear from you. We're going to go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to Brad. Hi, Brad.
How y'all doing? And this is a the closing of a wonderful, wonderful subject. And listening to your introduction about the invisibility of God, you know, so many people you know, they just listen to what man says to them. But, man, when you think about what God's intention was from the very beginning with Adam, he was the invisible God, and he wanted to live in his creation, put on his humanity so that the world could see his character, his attributes, his activities, realize that when we were created new, God put us on. So that people around us in the body of Christ, not in the body of Christ, could see God living in and through us. And just to know in Philippians 2:13, 12, and 13, that it's God in us, both working his will and the will of his good pleasure. It's him doing it in and through us. And this reconciliation, I read it this way, and this is just my opinion. I could be wrong, but God was reconciling us to himself while we were yet enemies, while Jesus was being sacrificed on the cross. Before the work was finished, God reconciled us, and in the sacrifice, in the shedding of his blood, he forgave us and cleared the way for him and us, that he could live in you and me when we turn from unbelief. And it's just wonderful to understand that and know that. And I love you guys. And Teresa's phone call was wonderful too. And I'll talk to y'all later.
Well, thank you, Brad. Always yeah, good to hear you. From you. It's kind of interesting. Our old friend, Major Thomas, who passed away a number of years ago, but was a guy that was very instrumental in the development of this ministry, especially when it comes to the saving life of Christ. And that was the book that he wrote, The Saving Life of Christ. And he gave this illustration. Suppose that, you know, there was a group of beings on another planet, and they knew that God existed, but they knew absolutely nothing about God. And word eventually made its way to them that there's this planet called Earth, and it's inhabited by human beings that were created in God's image. And if you can figure out a way to get from where you are down to planet Earth and look at these human beings, you will see what God is really like. And so if somebody had looked at Adam and Eve before they fell, they would have seen what God was like. Why? Because that relationship that they had with God the Father as they walked in the garden with him changed or was reflected in their actions one toward another. Yes. Now, when sin came, you know, that changed everything. So if they came today and looked at these humans, they would think God was an adulterer, that he was a liar, that he was a murderer, that he was a thief, that he was all these things. But then Jesus shows up. And so in Jesus, we see what God's like. As he lived in dependence upon his Father, we see in the human side of Jesus the reflection of God the Father's life being lived through him. Now, when we come to Christ, we're restored to that role as image bearer. And as we walk in dependence upon Christ, just as he walked in dependence upon his Father, then the world is going to see what God is like. Well, what does it see? It sees that God is love, because as we walk in dependence, we're going to be loving one another. And as we love one another, that's assurance that God lives in us. And that's the completion of God's love in us. We've received it, and now it's flowing out into the lives of others. And that's what God is like. God is love. So that's how this thing has been designed from the very get-go. Yes. That's what Christ restores for each and every one of us who come to him by faith. And we have that distinct privilege of making God known in this world today. Can you think of a better purpose?
that there is no other purpose.
None. Yeah. None whatsoever. We live for money. We live for pleasure. We live for this. We live for that. We live for legacy. You know, we want people to remember us when we die. But man, it's all about God. It's been revealed to us in Jesus.
Yes.
And we have an opportunity to make him known. What the world desperately needs is the knowledge of God. And that knowledge has been deposited in God's people. Mm-hmm. Anyone who has come to know Christ by faith has the knowledge of God living in them. And as we learn to walk in dependence upon Jesus Christ, we're going to make that knowledge about God known to others. That's good news.
It is.
Well, let's go to Fort Worth and talk to Veronica, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Veronica.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Well, I have filed for divorce from my husband of 17 years this year, and I just want to know that I'm not losing my salvation because of it.
Well, Veronica, you know, divorce is not the unpardonable sin. There's the only unpardonable sin in the Bible is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which translated is the rejection of Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, as your very life. So divorce is not the unpardonable sin. Now, when Jesus, Veronica, went to the cross 2,000 years ago, he took all sin upon himself, and he dealt with it once and for all. So, Veronica, he looked down the corridor of time, and he saw you. And that's good news, isn't it? That he saw you, and that he saw me. And he saw all the things that we were going to be involved in life. And he said, those things deserve to be punished, and that punishment is death. And I want to take all of those things off of Veronica, and I want to place them on myself. And then I want to suffer the punishment so that she can be set free from the law of sin and death and experience new life in Christ. That's what the gospel message is all about. So if you have received Jesus Christ, Veronica, then you have received forgiveness of sins. So,
how do I know I'm not getting into this sin on purpose? I think I've gone through it in my mind. I've tried all the counseling. I've tried everything that I know I can possibly try, or that I think I've tried, to make sure that it didn't head that way, and it's still, no matter what, heading that way.
Well, Veronica, I mean, you know, we can always question our motives. We can always question our hearts.
Yes.
You know, all that's a part of being human, isn't it?
It is.
And I'm sure, Veronica, it's you know, in your deepest desire, you would want to see this marriage reconciled and brought back together. But that takes two, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. So if he's not willing, and I'm assuming that's the case, if he's not willing to work it out and to be reconciled, you know what?
Yes.
Is that right?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. Does he have somebody else in the mix, or?
No. Actually, he does not, which is quite unusual. But he is extremely psychologically abusive, emotionally abusive, and financially abusive.
Okay. Well, then, you know, if you've tried to work it out and you see that there's no other way to get out from underneath that abuse, then you have to walk in that direction. It's not what you desire. It's not what you hope. It's not what you've prayed for. But maybe even in walking in that direction, that does something in your husband. You don't really know, but you're walking in that direction. So, but know this, that God has already seen every sin, has already dealt with it in full through the shed blood of Jesus. And if you're in Christ, then you have forgiveness of sins. Does that make sense?
It does. It's such a blessing to talk to you today. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for your call, Veronica. I'm going to put you on hold. We have some materials that we can send you that I think will be a big help. A CD called Drive the Stake. and I want you to listen to that and then call us back, okay? You hang on.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Veronica. Tough situation. Well,
yes.
We'll be back tomorrow for a teaching edition. We'll see you then.